name of the Blessed Lord. To all in his name, the name of the Lord. To all in the name of the Lord. His word or deed has God decreed. To all in the name of the Lord. And then once you've marked that, let's turn to number 496. 496. After the song, Jael, will you lead us in prayer?
I will.
Thank you. There's a land that is fairer than the day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there.
Anytime we talk about lost on page one, I think it's good to follow it up with a sermon regarding what's found on page two. And that is the idea of a person along the way finding himself in position where he is reading the Word of God. And as a result of that, whether it comes by way of a friend inviting him to read in his Bible, or whether it comes from a preacher who is a friend on the radio or by way of television who makes a statement from the Bible, and he begins to look it up. He begins to pay attention to it. He'll soon come to Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. a rather simple verse to all of us of the church, because we found that to be the truth. We found it to be the case that we find ourselves following that word, because that word directs us toward what we should believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our Lord Jesus also prayed for us. Many instances are found in the page of the Bible. I'll refer to a number of those things as we begin this lesson tonight, of how important it is, the word of God. Some love the principal work of Jesus, and they'll go to the statements made regarding Jesus and regarding his way of life, and they'll come by and by to John 17 and 17. Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. An impact will be made ultimately in that person's life to realize that faith comes by hearing the word, and here is Jesus praying for people to receive that word and understand that they'll be set apart, sanctified by the truth, and as a result of that be there. Some people love the book of Psalms, and they'll pick up in the book of Psalms and they'll begin to read there, and they'll come to passages like, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. And they'll be amazed by that. And they'll see once again the place of the word of God in their daily walk of life. Some people love the teaching of the prophets, and they'll go by way of the prophets, and they'll get to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah will simply say the following, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And thus the impact will be made in that person's life that the word of God does direct our lives. Jesus prayed the word of God would direct their lives. It is a case that the word of God is a light unto my feet, a pathway of life. And besides that, it's not in man to direct his own steps. So I want to see that there's more to this. What I'm sharing with you is a part of a message in regard to someone that I knew long ago when I set up these particular studies. And this man said that he lived that way. He didn't want to follow after God. He didn't want to follow after the Bible. It's an old book. It was filled with black words and red letterings, and it just wasn't for him. Until one day along the way, he heard a certain radio preacher talk about this subject on the radio. And he began to open his Bible to take a look at Romans 10:17, John 17:17, and the things of the psalmist about the word of God. And then he began to put it into his thoughts. Maybe there was more that he needed. Thus he began to talk with others about it. And as a result of that, they led him to the gospel and asked him to believe nothing that they would teach him themselves, unless he read it for himself in the word of God. They further urged him to stay with the context of that statement made, and to stay with the meaning of the word that is used. Thus it is that he came to know the fullness of the gospel, and how grateful he was that he lived that time and was able to do that. I know of another good man along the way I could name that you would possibly know, both of these particular individuals in their lives. They're now passed on. But he was a part of a teaching and coaching in school. And he was allowed himself to be so influenced by the lives of young people that he worked with. And he knew that they were just not representing their families in a good way, but at the same time, he was allowing them to deeply influence him. Knowing that he had heard the gospel, he had gotten his Bible open and he had read about it and how the people on the day of Pentecost were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins, and they had done that, and there were added to them that day about 3,000 souls. The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. And he was just convinced that this was what to do. But he wouldn't do it because those children went to the church assemblies where he would be a member. He denied himself obeying the Lord on that basis. Not a good decision. Later on, when he was baptized into Christ, he would admit that that was the most foolish thing for him to do. And he realized that when I mentioned to him that as he was coaching ball, how would he like for young people to give a real attention to what he said, seemingly listen to everything that he said, then go out on the floor, on the court, and never put it into practice. He wouldn't like that at all. He wouldn't think that that was good. He'd ask them later on, why did you behave in such a way in the classroom and in the study room and in the skull sessions, as they called them in those days and time? Why did you act this way there and you didn't put it into practice as you did this work out there? He had a way for them to dribble, a way for them to pass the ball quickly, a way for them to honor the layups, a way for them to do the follow-up as a partner of theirs on the team shot the ball. And now then, here was the backup for the rebound. And he just wouldn't have had appreciated that at all. And that deeply affected him. And he talked about how he should never have allowed any of those young people to influence him that way. He put off obeying the gospel because of that. On page 2 of God's Word, we find great information. We find information about how we can grow in the way of the Lord. This Word of God we talked about is a great thing, but by and by we'll come to 1 Peter 2 and 2. And we'll find ourselves reading there where the child is to grow by the entrance of milk into their system. The milk of God's Word would be a help to them. They would grow. In the Hebrew letter in chapter 5, in reference to this growth, he says, well, when the time has come that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one come and teach you again the oracles which be of the first principles of God, and are such that have need of milk and not of strong meat. For milk belongs to those that are unskilled in the word of righteousness, but the strong meat belongs to those who are skilled and capable and able to become teachers of God's Word to others. Realizing that that's the case in our lives, all of us to some degree find that we want to be teachers of God's will. It's a happy thing for us to become saved individuals. It's a happy thing for us to follow His Word. It's a happy thing for us to be people serving the cause of God in a righteous way. And as a result of that, we want to share it with others. We want to tell others about it. You know, we're that kind of people in regard to anything along the way. Yesterday we enjoyed stopping off and enjoyed before we went to the singing last night. Our children were at the ball game and they enjoyed it. They were going back home by way of Holly Springs. And they knew a place up that way and a place that we hadn't gone before, and it was one of the finest Mexican places. It's just on a corner of the little strip mall that's there just before you get to the Sonic Drive-In. Sonic Foods. It is a wonderful place. All their stuff on the menu is picture taken. Pictures of every dish that they serve you. And they serve wonderful food. It was a great time. Well, when I got over there to Luxahoma, I asked a couple of people, have they ever gone over there to eat? They didn't know there was a Mexican place at all. And I said, well, this is one of the best. And we've been to a number of different places where Mexican food was served. And some remained with us for several days after that time. We had to take a little bit of something along the way, Rolades and the like. And some didn't, and it was still, but this was wonderful and good stuff. Couldn't wait to tell them about that sort of thing. And some of them said, well, they had to go over there. One of them said they'd be going over there for some kind of a therapy that was being done by a doctor over that way. And they would be sure to drop in there to enjoy that because they wanted a compliment on that place. I hope they have as good experience as I had in that regard. We talk about things that we like to do. If we have a good car and a good service out of it and it does good for us, we like to talk about that wonderful vehicle and how it's worked and how it's well treated us. And we like that way, and people are like that when they're converted to the Lord too. They like to tell others at work in place like that. Thus it was along the way with a young lady who was a good student, a good worker. She loved the things of the Bible and things of the Lord, but she just thought that she had obeyed the gospel. She had not. And she had a good friend, an older lady, who was a member of the Church of the Lord. She was faithful to the Lord, and she worked at a fellow place. And along the way, she got to writing down on a little piece of paper. Every morning before she left out, she got to writing down and giving her a verse for the day. She'd give them a verse that would deal with John 3:16 and God so loved the world. But she'd also give them verses in regard to how to worship the Lord, the Lord's Supper, and how they were to use that, 1 Corinthians 11. And the need to obey the gospel of the Lord. One day she got so busy with her husband, who was somewhat sickly at the time. And she got busy with him that morning for something that he had a problem with, and she needed to attend to him. And she was a little bit late getting to work, and she took her time in regard to getting to work. And then that morning, she realized when she arrived that she had not brought that little piece of paper that day and put it at that lady's sewing machine. And she went on to her workplace, but she got to notice him. That young lady was, she was looking through everything. She was picking up the machine. She was looking at the side of it. She was looking underneath it. She was looking at the floor. She was looking for something, and Callie said, "I know what she was looking for." And she said the next day she brought her two of those little pages and left there at the table. Later she learned who had done this. When she inquired, "Can I obey that gospel? Can I do what the Lord said do?" It takes somebody along the way to introduce us to the Lord when we have no interest in Him and no interest in His Word. We don't know the strength of faith. We don't know the power of the Word of God in our lives. It takes somebody that's respected highly among that individual's lifestyle and activities. That's why it's important for you and me, his brethren, to be people who go in life from day to day honest. What we say, we do. What we promise, we keep. There are those in business that I know that I've been told about back years ago that I had good results with, but they didn't have good results at all. And I went back to talk with those individuals about, did they pick and choose whom they did good favors for? And well, no, we don't do that. And I said, well, I have a couple of folks that say that if they were looking for you to come and work on their refrigerator or whatever they've had as appliance, that in fact, they'd still be looking. Now, years later. Oh, they wanted to know who this person was and where they could go. They wanted to rectify that problem. And I said, no, I won't tell you who that particular person is, but I will tell that person that you have mended your ways. You didn't intend for that to happen. And that the next time that they have a need for something, to give you a call. And I said, you may figure it out someday, but somebody who hadn't called you in a long time, but I didn't tell you exactly who it was. But I tell you this, we need to have always a good promise kept. There are some people who get so busy with what they're doing, answering the telephone and the like, that they write down a note and forget that they've written that note. And then if they write it down and they put it in their pocket, they've forgotten they put it in their pocket. And they forget what they said and what they've done. And they just don't do it well. Let's be people who are honest and honorable in ways of our Lord. And as a result of that, we'll have a great influence upon them when they want to know what's different. Because Peter says this regarding this matter. He said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give answer to every man who asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And do this with meekness and fear or respect." When you have somebody to ask you, they're serious about it. And they're interested in it, and they will probably not do it if your previous way of lifestyle has been promises unkept and truth untold and the mannerisms of life to serve self only. Very likely, they'll not ever ask. But if they see that example in your life and they see that you are different in religious matters, Those who ask a question of the reason of the hope that is in you, give a reply. It may be a reply of, I'm just not as knowledgeable as I should be in that part of the Bible. But I will get you that information. I will hand you that information. I'll write that information down. The next time I see you, in fact, I'll come over and visit with your place and give you this information. Will be deeply appreciated. Good can be done. Souls can be won to the Lord if we make those efforts in our daily walk of life. What have we talked about tonight? We talked about on page 2, how to become a saved individual. And what happens when we become a saved individual? How much difference there is in life. Peter will say this in 1 Peter 4:4. They'll think it odd of you, those who continue in their ways of sin and wrongdoing. They'll think it strange of you that you do not continue to do the same excesses and rites that you used to do with them. They'll think it different, and they'll see the difference, and they'll ask someday, what is the reason? And the reason can be shared with meekness and respect. It doesn't have to be answered without me tell you what you ought to believe and do. It will be answered with the idea of, I'm humbly before God. It was not me. The Word of God directed me toward the way of life that I now practice. And along with the way, maybe it will direct them. And we hope that that is the case. When we find ourselves following God's way and God's will, we'll find a way in which we can go. And I close out this lesson tonight in the writing that Paul did to the brethren at Thessalonica when he directed them to think, those of you that are troubled. You know, Jesus had talked about troubled brethren. And I think that we grow in that way of life where we're not as troubled, but we can find ourselves troubled. Waiting for the Lord to return, and He hadn't returned yet, and the troubles and difficulties of life round about us can be absorbed into our thinking and our minds, and we're troubled by it. And Jesus said to His disciples there in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, the Son of God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And they tell us in the studies of this that it's a question form as it was placed in the Greek in that passage. Would I have told you that this is the case if it were not so? Is the way that it really is written. But regardless of that, it's the idea of I'm promising you this and this is going to come about. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. Those people troubled could be really helped. And they could be really rewarded. And Jesus told the disciples that in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Here in Paul's writing to the brethren at Thessalonica, he says the following. To those of you that are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, put away from the presence of God and from the glory of His might. There's no good thing coming up ahead for those that are troubled in this life, and yet they have put off obeying the gospel. They know of some that have not obeyed the gospel yet. Maybe they were part of the person's life I mentioned earlier who had looked at their lives so much that they refused to obey the gospel. And that was such a foolish choice on the part of that person's life. We do not know the day nor the hour when these things will change for us and we'll leave this earthly life and go on to life's other side. We do not know the circumstance by which we'll face that time. It could be an illness. It could be old age. It could be an accident of some kind. I know of a good man that he had a limb to swipe him and break up his face and palate and everything. He had to have special surgery last week. Very fortunate, very faithful member of the church. But he had some kind of accident take place that the limb hit him in the mouth and hit him in the face. It broke many, many bones in his face and in the palate. We do not know when those things will be fatal. I have known of others that lost their lives cutting trees, and the tree bounced back, hit them in the head, and they died. I know that those circumstances can take place. And we leave this world having not known God or having not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Such a warning as that in the writing to Paul to the Thessalonians surely would have an effect upon someone who, at your influence for good, has opened his Bible, begun to read about faith, begun to read about the importance of the church of our Lord, the worship of God in spirit and in truth, and all the things that are associated with that. And now then, he's read here in regard to this fact. He'll take vengeance on them who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. His son is to be respected, and his son is to be obeyed. And that's serious with God the Father. And he'll bring punishment upon those who do not obey that gospel. There are those who will call you up. It's time for me to obey the gospel. It's time right now to go and obey the gospel. And of course, we as Christians would not put off anybody. We wouldn't be waiting for Sunday to come up and we finally help them to obey the gospel. We wouldn't be waiting for any other day in time. We wouldn't be waiting for somebody to come from out of town to be there. Those things may be important to a family and to a family member, but what they're important for is so goes to pale. It's so small compared to my right relationship with God. When I meet Him face to face, I want to meet Him there having loved Him and His Son and followed His Word. That'll sanctify me, Jesus said, John 17:17. It'll not only sanctify and set me apart, but it'll direct my path of life. It's a light into my path, light into my way. I'll have that to be a reward for my life. When others ask me, why are you so different now that you're not like you used to be? I don't have to take credit for it. Couldn't. Don't want people to follow me as an example, nor do you. But here's the Word of God that directed my thoughts and my ways. And it was a wonderful decision, I believe, that I made. Now then, that person wants to make that same decision. What a good thing it is to be on page 2 of God's Holy Word and follow His will. A faith that obeys and follows His will and His way. As a result of that, tonight, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation, won't you come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? And to those of you on the internet listening, I hope that you will come to be people who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not my word that I'm preaching and teaching. It's the word of the Lord. It's the direction. And I mentioned about in Acts chapter 2, the example on the day of Pentecost. But in Acts chapter 10, the Cornelius was a Gentile man. The same message was taught to him to obey the gospel. And you can do that today. Brother and sister in the Lord have been falling away from the Lord. You can be restored just like Simon was in Acts chapter 8. The thought and intent of your heart will be forgiven you by the Lord if you'll come back to Him in repentance and prayer. And that's what he was told to do. And that'll be the way for which to do that. Come as we stand and as we sing together tonight.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be.
Yes, I forget my crown brow. Lead me to Calvary.
Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead
Lord, to bear daily my cross.
Don't forget on Tuesday, I guess, to vote.
Tuesday to vote.
Is it this week?
Yes.
Tuesday to vote. Wherever you vote, go there and be sure to be a part of it. Because it's an American system.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Thank you, Father, for our help.